It is a manic Monday on steroids. I'm Scoot on the air. I hope you had a great weekend. The Saints' loss has led to the firing of head coach Dennis Allen. If you listen to this show, you know that I'm not surprised, and I know many of you are not surprised. The Saints have named special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi as the interim head coach. He's going to hold a press conference here any moment now. We're going to bring you to that press conference live as soon as it happens, and again, it's going to happen any moment. So we're going to bring you to the Rizzi press conference coming up. I wrote a blog about the firing of Dennis Allen, and I started talking about this intensely last year, and I just sensed that there just was something not right. And a lot of people supported Dennis Allen, and the Saints, and even some sports experts supported Dennis Allen. And, I felt kind of like a loner in some ways, although I know a lot of fans agreed with me. I just felt like there was something that was not right about that. So I wrote an in-depth blog about it. It's posted on our website, WWL.com. You can also find it on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, and that's where you can comment on it. And I'll share some of your comments later in the show. But here we are the day before the election, and there's so much to talk about, so many lies, so much misinformation. Donald Trump pretending to perform fellatio, oral sex with a microphone. Scott Jennings, the conservative Republican pundit on CNN, is questioning, well, maybe that's not what he was doing. Well, if you saw the video or if you saw him do it, it's pretty obvious that's what he was doing. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And somebody else brought up the idea that I brought up late last week. Donald Trump is doing such bizarre things that maybe he doesn't even want to win. I mean, some of the things that he says, some of the things that he's doing, it's almost like he doesn't want to win. So we're going to talk about all of this afternoon. But locally for Saints fans, the big news is the firing of Dennis Allen. I heard Bobby Hebert talk on the Point After and then his after his rant last night on WWL after the game. I heard Bobby talk about what a nice guy Dennis Allen is. And I'm sure he is. I don't know him, but he seems like a very nice guy. I've commented on how calm he seemed to be after every Saints loss, even after the embarrassing losses. So I'm sure he's a nice guy. But sometimes people get elevated, and I bring this up in my blog. There was a book written years ago, and I read this book, titled The Peter Principle. And it's based on a theory that most people in life, this is particularly indicative of bureaucracies, most people in life reach a level of incompetence. They do a good job at one level, they get promoted. They do a good job at that level, they get promoted. And at some point, they get promoted beyond a point where they're capable of doing the job. And Dennis Allen, even though the defense wasn't that great this year, Dennis Allen may end up being a great defensive coordinator for another team. I don't think Dennis Allen's relationship with the NFL is over. I just don't think he's a head coach. And he might even be more comfortable as a defensive coordinator somewhere, because just the head coaching position just did not seem to be for him. Unfortunately, the people who made the decision to hire him, to elevate him from within, I think they made the easy decision. The easy move was to just, well, we'll just elevate Dennis Allen. The problem is, especially after the loss yesterday, the fans really demanded the firing of Dennis Allen. Fan attitude toward the Saints has changed. And the Saints have had such a devoted, dedicated group of fans that it's unusual to have fans this disgruntled. But Saints fans have every right to be disgruntled because of the perception of the team on the field and the way they played. And I said Friday, I said, this is a must win, but it scares me because if the Saints have to win a game, it concerns me that they're not going to be able to win it. And they lost to a bad team, the Panthers, by 1 point. But it could have been 50. They still lost. And there was no decision the Saints could make. They've got to keep the fans happy. They've got to keep the fans in the seats. And that was the goal. And Dennis Allen was promoted as the person who's going to lead the Saints, but it just didn't work out. So we'll see what happens now. I also heard Bobby Hebert, and I've heard others say really positive things about special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi. and that he's an excited guy and knows how to get people excited. I mean, what if the Saints do really well the rest of the season? Does he deserve to be the head coach next season? Or are the Saints in a position where they really have to go outside? You know, these are questions. We don't know the answers to these questions, but these are questions. But I think the Saints made the right decision. I mean, I don't know. It was a decision I think they could have made even last year, because it just seemed obvious that Dennis Allen was not the right person to be in that position for the Saints. Chris Olave, another concussion. There are conversations going on now about the pass that Derek Carr threw, described by one person as a hospital pass, that kind of pass is going to put you in the hospital. I don't know that much about the intricacies of being quarterback, and if you can see the receiver in a situation where he's going to be totally just sandwiched, or if you can see a situation where a receiver is going to be just totally bashed, not by one but by two defenders, if you throw that pass, then maybe you don't throw the pass. Derek Carr had some good moments, but he had a lot of terrible moments, and he was really, really off. And I know some people might say, well, you know, Derek Carr, you know, he was off for a while, so he wasn't, you know. Well, think about this. He was off all last season. I mean, he was off during the off season. All the players were off, and he came back really strong in the first two games of the season. So maybe he was still injured. I don't know, but I didn't think he was that sharp. Alvin Kamara was a killer, but I feel badly for Alvin Kamara, doing so much, reaching 1,000 yards already this season, halfway through the season, had well over 100 yards yesterday. He's killing it, but not everybody was. And even Taysom Hill dropped a pass, and the missed tackles. There was one case where, you know, the Honey Bun, formerly known as the Honey Badger, the Honey Bun tried to, you know, kind of push somebody, grab somebody, and it didn't quite work. Didn't go for the legs. And anyway, it was just a terrible performance as a team, and the Saints lost that. And the coaching decisions. What about the use of the clock or the lack of timeouts called toward the end of the first half? I mean, what was that all about? Sometimes under Dennis Allen, the Saints just seem to be confused. So maybe Dennis Allen is just not head coach material. I bring all of this up in the blog. The other problem that we have now is Derek Carr came here with like this incredibly expensive contract. This incredible contract because of Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen's now gone, and so we've got Derek Carr. I don't think Derek Carr should automatically be the starting quarterback. If there is, I don't know that there's anybody, I don't think that Haener or Rattler are better than Derek Carr right now. But I don't think Derek Carr on the roster should be a reason the Saints don't try to get a better quarterback. I don't think Derek Carr is going to take us to the playoffs. And I also bring up in my blog today that football fans, they hope that their team, and this is something that football fans deserve, they deserve to hope that their team gets to the playoffs and maybe even the Super Bowl. They deserve that. The fans make the players and the management and the owners of the NFL teams rich. And the fans deserve the hope that their team is a winning team and they've got a chance to get to the playoffs. Now, not every team gets to the playoffs, but the fans deserve that hope. That hope ended yesterday with that embarrassing loss to the Panthers. And so now there's new hope, I guess, that the Saints redirect things and head in the right direction, because the goal is to keep the fans in the stands. And I have never, you know, even back in the days when people were putting bags on their heads, I don't remember a time when the disgruntled attitude of Saints fans has been as deep as it is right now. Deep to the point of affecting whether or not fans are in the seats. And you know, yesterday I saw a lot of blue seats in Carolina. Fans not showing up. That's not a problem the Saints have had in the past. But if things aren't straightened out, that's a problem the Saints will have in the future. Because money is too precious. time is too precious for people to go to games where they don't even have the hope of getting to the playoffs. And that's the least that you can give fans. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. We're going to get to this break. We may interrupt the break because we are standing by for a press conference from special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi, the named interim coach for the New Orleans Saints. We're waiting to hear from him, and we'll carry that as soon as it happens. But right now for Dennis Allen, it's over. Also this afternoon, it's the day before the election. A lot of stuff happened over the weekend. We're going to talk about Trump and what he did with that microphone. We're going to talk about all of that this afternoon on WWL. I was really sad to hear that record producer Quincy Jones had passed away. He was 91 years old, so he lived a long, great life. Quincy Jones worked with Frank Sinatra and Ray Charles and literally hundreds of recording artists. He died at the age of 91, so again, lived a nice long life. Thriller was one of his big works, working with Michael Jackson and producing that album, one of the greatest albums of all time. And he's also really known for putting together the whole group of artists that did We Are the World, another big Quincy Jones production. You know, rest in peace. Quincy Jones passed away at the age of 91, and he really was a major factor in the world of music. I'm Scoot on the air. So Marco Rubio, who is one of the most spineless politicians you will find in politics. I mean, he's a total weenie. Marco Rubio is really just PO'd that Saturday Night Live allowed Vice President Kamala Harris to have a cameo appearance at the beginning of the show Saturday night, just days before the election. And Marco Rubio is proclaiming in violation of the law. And then you've got Brendan Carr, who is a Republican commissioner with the Federal Communication Commission appointed by Donald Trump. He's part of a five-person governing body of the FCC. He's complaining about this. But, you know, the whole equal time thing really sort of went out of the window when the fairness doctrine was dismissed. There was a fairness doctrine in place in America, I think, since 1949. And Ronald Reagan just, blew it apart. No longer did broadcast networks have to give equal time to anybody else. They could just be totally one-sided. This is what led the way to conservative talk radio. It led the way to Rush Limbaugh. It led the way to conservative talk in America, or liberal talk. You know, there's not that much of that, but it led the way to not being required to give equal time to somebody else. So this whole thing, this whole blow up about Kamala Harris being on Saturday Night Live is totally bogus. And you're not going to find any more spineless of a person than Marco Rubio to even bring this up in the first place. But you know, you don't have to offer equal time. You don't. It has been this way for a very, very long time, since the Reagan administration. So we'll talk a little bit about that this afternoon. I'm sorry, Ian, who is in Alabama? All right, Cedric is in Alabama. Cedric, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right, okay, we're going to the press conference now with special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi. He is the new interim coach for the New Orleans Saints. Okay, he's walking up to the podium right now, and we'll hear from him here in just a moment. New Orleans Saints have a new interim head coach. It's special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi. Here he is.
We're going to have a hand in kind of digging us out of this hole that we're in. So, like I said, this is not the this is a day that's a little bit tough. It's a situation I've been through before a couple different times, and we need to circle the wagons right now. We need everybody on board. And the only way I know how to do it is to fight and work out of it. So that's what we're going to do. So with that, I'll take some questions.
Riz, what changes do you anticipate making?
Listen, John, we're going to look at everything. Everything's going to get, as I told the team this morning, everybody and everything is going to get reevaluated, because right now the product is not acceptable. So everything down from the schedule to how we do things to the active players to the daily schedule, we're going to look at everything. How we practice, you know, all those different things. And so really haven't made any final decisions on all that, but you know, a wise man and the Hall of Fame coach once told me, if something's got to change, and something's got to change. So we're gonna make some changes.
When you say how we practice, like practice harder, longer, different?
Yeah, I'm just talking about, we're gonna, you know, look at everything, really. So you know, there's a bunch of different ways to do it. I think we've been doing things around here the same way for a long, long time, and maybe some are good, maybe some aren't. And we can make some changes. So, but there'll be some different things that we do for sure. Yeah, I mean, not to sound like a broken record, but literally we're gonna reevaluate everything. Reevaluate everybody, everything, the staff, the coaches, the players. Because right now, when you lose seven games in a row, we're obviously not in a place where we can just stay status quo. I don't think this is gonna be Darren Rizzi taking over the steering wheel. We're just gonna keep, you know, the ship moving forward. We got to make some changes along the way. So this is not just a change for the at the top of the head coach. We got to look at and really evaluate everything that we're doing.
How much do you embrace this challenge, though? For you, it's like an audition as well.
Yeah, well, listen, I embrace everything. I think you guys know my personality pretty good by now. I'm a passionate guy. Kind of wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm a very realistic type of guy, and so I only know how to do things one way. You know, I grew up a little bit of a fighter. You know, I've really never been handed anything, and so I was a walk-on player in college. I was a free agent in the NFL. I started my coaching career in Division II. I mean, and so I've had to work for everything I've gotten, and this is no different. And I'm going to show up here every day of the week, and I'm going to work my ass off, and we're going to try to change the product on the field.
Darren, thinking how tough this was for you, Riz, but how bittersweet is it? I mean, you obviously want to be a head coach, but you don't want it this way.
Yeah, this is not a day for celebration. You know, this is a day for, this is, like I said earlier, it's a tough day. This is, I said the exact same message to the team. You know, but at the same time, there's only one way to fight through this, and that's through hard work and showing up every day. And you know, it's the reality of the situation. This is where we're at. And so I have no choice but to stand up here and be the leader that I think one of my strong suits is. I'm a leader of men. I think that and in tough situations, leaders really show their true colors. And I think the rest of the team is the same thing. Like, we're going to find out right now who's going to fight. I'm going to keep that. I'm going to keep those private conversations. I'm going to keep those private.
Have you talked to Nikki or Gail?
Yeah, yep.
We kind of really kind of ask you, like, your general football philosophies and what traits you want out of your team. Like, how would you kind of define some of those things?
Well, listen, I'm an accountability guy. You know, our motto on special teams since I took over has been 1/11th, and that's all about accountability. It's every person, you know, knowing their part, understanding their part, knowing the role, understanding the role, and going out and executing it. You know, and as I said to the team this morning, that 1/11th philosophy is going to be something that we carry, because in no other sport can one person have an error and it affects the other people on the, you know, I gave a baseball analogy, I gave a basketball analogy. You know, in baseball, you know, Aaron Judge can go 0-for-4 and strike out four times, but Gerrit Cole throws a perfect game, the Yankees are still going to win. LeBron can drop 60, J.R. Smith can go 2-for-21 like he normally did, and LeBron could, you know, they're still going to win. So, you know, my point is that can't happen in football. In football, one guy messes up on one play, it affects the other 10. And so I think that's one of the areas we can improve in. I think we can be more accountable. I'm always an accountability guy. I'm a keep it real guy, like I said. I'm going to tell you how I see it. Not a lot of secrets with me. I think that players like that. I think players respond to that. I think it's one of my strengths. Like I said, I think I'm a good leader. And so that's how we're going to kind of keep it rolling.
Aaron, was that Hall of Fame coach you come out of Bill Parcells?
It was.
And how much is he sort of?
Well, listen, when I got into the NFL, Bill Parcells was, you know, the executive vice president of the Miami Dolphins. He's the one that hired me. We're both North Jersey guys, and I grew up watching his Giants teams, and we're from the same neck of the woods, if you will, kind of same personality type guys. And that's how I kind of got to know Sean, you know, through that kind of that tree that Tony Sperano, Sean Payton, tree. And so, you know, so I had the honor and the privilege of working for Coach Parcells. And so, you know, that was his quote. You know, if something's going to change, something's got to change. So that always stuck with me.
How would you describe kind of the mood or state of the locker room right now?
Listen, I think it's a tough day for everybody. I mean, I don't think anybody envisions walking in here in week nine and there being a coaching change. But at the same time, I think guys are going to, you know, I expect and I anticipate, and my expectation is the guys are going to circle the wagons and we're going to rally the troops. And listen, I had a lot of positive conversations today. I don't think that we're in a situation where anybody's lost hope, if you will. And so, listen, I met with the leaders of the team. You know, I think it was a very positive conversation. I expect the leaders to lead. We got to do better in a lot of areas, but in no way, shape, or form have I ever felt like we lack effort or anything like that. I think we're getting that. We got to execute better, and you know, and really, there's no excuses. It doesn't really matter who's out there. You're going to hear a lot about that, and I've heard a lot about that, and this is the NFL, and everyone's dealing with that. So we got to go out. We got to execute better in all three phases, and we got to be more accountable. Like I said, you know, locker room wide. But I felt like. I've had a lot of positive. I've touched just about every player today in some way, shape, or form, and I feel like we have a positive attitude right now. But at the same time, it's still a tough day. But this is the hand we've been dealt, and we've kind of dealt the cards ourselves. But you know, and so we got to play the hand, and we got to move forward and work through it.
How has being a special teams coach specifically helped you like build connections with all these players on the roster?
Yeah, listen, I think between the special teams coach and the strength coach are really the two people in the building that really deal with the entire team. I've always felt like special teams coaches are well prepared to take over as head coaches, because you're really dealing with I can honestly say I have a relationship with every single player on the team, quarterbacks included. I had a great meeting with Derek today, and Spencer and Jake and those guys. And so, you know, I think special teams coaches, like I said, we're very well versed league-wide in the situations. We're very well-versed to being up in front of the room. We're dealing with every player. And so I'm very, very confident, very, very comfortable in that aspect.
Grizz, will you still do all the same stuff on special teams, or will Phil take on some more? How's that?
Yeah, listen, I think Phil's going to take on maybe a little larger role. I'm still going to have a big hand in the special teams aspect. I think we're going to bring in another quality control, try to take some of the workload off of my hands. So I think we're bringing another guy in. I think that might get announced here the next day or two, and we'll kind of look at the rest of the staff. But I'll still have a huge hand in the special teams. I think you guys know that I was already currently doing most of the game management stuff. And so that'll stay the same. And Joe Woods is gonna run the defense. Obviously, Clint's already running the offense. We know that. So Joe is gonna call the defense, and he'll take over calling the game.
What's kind of your message so far?
I'm sorry.
Your message to the fans and giving up on this season?
Listen, they should be pissed off. I'm pissed off. The fans should be pissed off. The people in New Orleans, the people of Louisiana, no one should be happy. And I think this city deserves a winner. They know what winning football looks like. And, you know, it's our job to bring that back. And my message is this. Here's what I can't promise a lot. I can promise passion. I can promise fight. And I can tell you that that team's going to go out there every Sunday. And that's going to be clear that we're going to have a team that's full of passion and a team that's full of fighters. That I can promise you. Now, the football's got to get better. The execution's got to get better. All right. But we're not going to lack those two things. We're not going to be boring to watch. That I can promise you.
What does your day look like so far? Have you posted any conversations with
you? I'm sorry. Could you repeat that one more time?
What does your day look like so far?
Today? Today? I don't even know what time it is right now. So, just listen. I had a conversation this morning with Mickey, and since then I've kind of been running around. Had a good team meeting. I've tried to touch a bunch of offices so far. You know, I really need to sit down with each one of the heads of all the different departments. I've met with a lot of the people so far. I've met with a lot of players. Met with the leadership of the team. We broke up a little bit offense, defense, and so there's still a lot to do, it's going to be one thing at a time. Got to kind of check one box at a time and move on, but like I said, I think I'm well prepared to do the job.
What are some of the next items like at the top of that to-do list, like as far as priority?
Yeah, I think getting back, you know, when the players come in here Wednesday, we want to have a very clear cut vision for what, you know, we're going to do on a daily basis. So I'm going to really spend a lot of time working on our daily schedule and our practice schedule and things like that, kind of just reevaluating what we've been doing there. And so that's going to kind of be what we're looking at. Naturally, going to talk with Clint, going to talk with Joe, talk about where we are offensive and defensively, you know, anything we got to, you know, change up there. And that's kind of just methodically go through each thing. So
do you kind of have like a set of ideas of what you would like to include before hearing from people, or like how do you go approaching
in terms of what?
In terms of just like when you're reviewing changes, like these are some ideas that I already have that you can switch.
Yeah, I mean, listen, everyone's going to have their own personal touch. The best advice I've been given by guys that have been in the situation before is be yourself. I really don't know how not to be myself. There's really nothing phony about me, and kind of like I said before, what you see is what you get. So listen, there's always things. I've worked for some great people, some great head coaches. I've worked for some great organizations. There's always things that you pick up along the way that you'd like to do. You know, listen, I was here with Sean for all the years with Sean, and there were some great things we did here, but there's some things that I think I've done some other places that can work as well. And so there'll definitely be a little bit of personal touch on that. But at the same time, you know, you got to be careful. We're in week 9 of the season. We're not going to wholesale, you know, pull the rug out on some things, but at the same time, we're going to integrate some new.
Does that new need to kind of like take effect? Because, you know, I know Dennis was different than Sean, but there's just like this huge history here of all that. Like, does new need to be part of it?
Well, as I said to the team today, you know, change doesn't have to be negative. And it doesn't have to be positive, and it doesn't mean easier, and it doesn't mean harder. It just means different. And I just think for us, you know, we all know the definition of insanity. Right, keep doing the same thing over and over again, expect a different result. So there need to be some difference. So I think that's what you'll see. Is it going to be drastic? No, we're in week. You know, there's only so many things you can do at this point of the season. The focus still needs to be on Wednesday when we walk in. It needs to be the Atlanta Falcons. That's the number one thing we got to be focused on. With that being said, I think there's a different way to get to the end result. And so that's where I think my personal touch will come in.
Darren, you said that this is not a day, so it's a day of mourning, but how do you balance it being a day of mourning with the team that then we got to hit the ground running?
Yeah, well, the bottom line is we got a game on Sunday, so there's only so much time you can feel sorry for yourself. You know, there's no excuses in this league. At the end of the day, no one really cares. There's that old expression that the people outside the building, you know, half of them love that you have problems, right? And the other half, I won't even say it. But We don't have time to sit around and feel sorry for ourselves or sorry for the situation. That doesn't mean it's a great day, but we're going to keep moving forward. And we need to be all on the same page with the vision. And I think when the players come back here, obviously their day off tomorrow, when they come back here on Wednesday, there'll be a clear vision on how we're going to go and attack the Atlanta Falcons.
With the trade deadline tomorrow, obviously a ton on your plate now, would you be, like, how involved would you be in any potential conversations with the front office about what you're saying?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, the trade deadline's they've been the last thing on my mind today, so that's not really where I'm at.
Just as a point of clarification, obviously, once teams reach a certain record and they have young quarterbacks on the roster, they might want to look and see what they have in the future. As of now, are you operating as Derek Carr's quarterback and we're trying to win games?
The truth is, today, with everything that's been going on, we haven't had one personnel discussion. That's just, you know, I can get back to you down the road, but we really haven't gone there yet. But I got to be honest with you, there's no reason in my mind to think that Derek Carr won't be the quarterback this Sunday.
You mentioned that DA is a close friend of yours. Have you had a chance to speak to him today? And if so, what was his message?
I did speak with DA. I'm going to kind of keep that conversation between the two of us private, but I did speak with him. And, you know, like with any friend, it wasn't a goodbye. It was a, you know, we'll talk later on down the road about, you know, other things, but I'll keep the content of that conversation between him and I. But I did get a chance to talk to him. Again, you know, DA was, when I got here, obviously he was a defensive coordinator. We've worked a lot together, and I got a great deal of respect for the product he's put on the field for a lot of years. And so, like I said, that makes this part of the job that much harder, and that makes this day this much harder. That's the tough part. At the same time, this is the man we're dealt. We got to keep moving forward.
It would be fair to say this is the job that you want to have.
Yeah, I'm worried about tomorrow, but you know, I've been fortunate that the organization is confident enough to put me up in front here, and I'm going to put my best foot forward for sure.
I know this is tricky, but building on Mike's questions, do you feel comfortable with this company, your philosophy about when is the right time to focus on more playing time for developing players, to see how they handle it, to think long term, as opposed to?
Well, I think, listen, the bottom line is, I mean, there's no secret that our roster's full right now of developing players. So there's a lot of guys playing on Sundays that are you know, in those younger roles. I mean, if you're alluding to the quarterback again, Derek Carr is going to be the quarterback this Sunday, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm not going down that road, and there's no reason for me to believe that, you know, that won't happen. We're going to do everything we can to beat the Atlanta Falcons this Sunday.
Is there much you're going to miss us asking about the kickoff?
Listen, if you guys want the Week 9 update, no, we can't break tradition. We'll have to wait till Thursday. Okay, I got to give you the Thursday update on that.
You talked to Dennis. Have you talked to Mrs. Benson?
Yeah, again, I'm gonna keep that those conversations private. I'm not a Thursday guy anymore. That shows you I don't even know the schedule. I may show up as the special teams coordinator on Thursdays and do the special teams coordinator just so I can give you the kickoff update in 9 weeks. We got to wait for the Monday night game. It's not complete.
That's right.
It's not complete. So.
I know you want to know another thing going on, so you might not have an answer, but how is Chris Olave doing?
Yeah, listen, there's obviously a great deal of concern for Chris, you know, with what happened yesterday. You know, that process of his evaluations and all those things is still ongoing. I did get a chance to speak with him today. And so, again, I'll kind of give you an update on that later in the week. But it was good to see him today, and good to see him up and around, and good to talk to him today. So,
cool. Information. I know a lot of people call you Wiz, so for those of us who have to write it. I mean, nobody beats the Wiz as onesie. Nobody beats the Wiz would be with two Z's.
I don't know. I hear you. Well, nobody beats the Wiz. That's a Jersey thing. That's where I'm from. So. No, I've seen the Riz with the 1Z and the 2Zs, and I know Riz was like the word of the year or something like that. So, you know, I got guys in the locker room were wearing Merry Rizmus shirts. You know, Bink and those guys had the Merry Rizmus shirts. I didn't even know what Riz meant, to be honest with you. I'm not a big social media guy, so all I was told was I made the word of the year last year with Riz. But yeah. Yeah, not too many people call me Darren. My mom still calls me Darren.
Do you know what Riz means now?
Do I know what Riz means now?
Yeah.
I do. I think.
You said you've been a part of two other interim situations that were positive. Can Bill is-
well, again, they're really never positive, but when I was, when I was at the Miami Dolphins, when Tony Sperano was fired, Todd Bowles was the interim head coach. And then when Joe Philbin was let go, Dan Campbell was the interim head coach, you know. And so I got a chance to talk to Dan briefly this morning. I thought that was positive. Todd, those guys are playing today. But, you know, the good thing is, listen, I've worked for five current head coaches in the league between Todd and Dan and Zach Taylor, Sean Payton, Brian Daboll. Those are all guys that I've worked with or for. And so, you know, you mentioned earlier about, you know, kind of putting your own stamp on it. But I feel like I've been around a lot of great leaders. And I've seen a lot, done a lot of different ways and a lot of great ways. And so kind of try to take a collection of all those guys. You know, so I've heard from a lot of those guys today, which is pretty cool.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Okay, you've just heard live coverage of the press conference from the Saints' new interim coach, special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi, known as the Riz. I love that. Nobody beats the Riz. Nobody beats the Riz. Seinfeld reference there. I'm Scoot on the air. We're going to review the things that that the Riz said during the press conference, and let's get your impression. I mean, what did you think? What's your first reaction to the Saints' new interim head coach? The Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. It is a manic Monday, and tomorrow is Election Day. We've got some election stuff to get to later, but the big breaking news today is the New Orleans Saints firing Dennis Allen. Wrote a blog about that. It's on our website also, the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, where you can comment on that. We just heard a live press conference with the Saints' new interim head coach. It's Saints special team coordinator Darren Rizzi. I was really impressed with the press conference. The Riz says everything is going to be evaluated and reevaluated. We've been doing things the same way too long. He said, I can promise you two things, passion and fight. And I think those are the two things that have been missing with the Saints under Dennis Allen. If you want to join us, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Cedric in Huntsville, Alabama. Cedric, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Scoot. Thanks for taking my call. It's been quite some time since I've called a radio station, especially about sports. Having been a radio sports talk host in New Orleans back in the 80s and 90s, I have an affinity for the people who do what you do, and, of course, those who do sports in particular, and that is talk to people on the radio. My point is that I think it's important for us to never forget that the New Orleans Saints belong to the city of New Orleans. The people of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast region is who the New Orleans Saints belong to. Now, what I'm about to say is probably not going to be very popular, because there's I think it's an Asian proverb that says, no man likes to have his intelligence or his good faith questioned, especially if he has doubts about it himself. And my point to that is that Rizzi, as an interim head coach, he's got his job cut out for him. I'm not expecting a lot, because he's in a position that's almost impossible. The real problem, and before I even mention the real problem, I do want to say and give my regrets to Dennis Allen. He was placed in a position that was way too big for him. That doesn't mean he's not a good football coach, but a head coach is the general manager of the coaching staff. He coaches coaches. Coaches coach players. And as a result, the kind of leadership that the former coach gave, it was clear, was not leadership at all. And I think Rizzi's going to find the same problem, which alludes to the point behind why I called. The real issue with the Saints is leadership, executive leadership. Executive leadership starts in the general manager's office. And while I don't want to see any man fired for the job, a woman for that matter, fired for the job that they do, because the real people who suffer when a person loses their job.
I'm going to get close to a break here, Cedric, that I'm going to have to take, so I just want you to make sure you get to your point.
Here's the point. You don't have a general manager who knows football. That's the point. He's a great guy, but he doesn't know football. And when Tom Benson hired him out of the Seattle Seahawks organization, he was not in executive leadership. Okay? So the first executive job he has here is at the Saints. And my point is that nothing will change with the Saints until we bring football people in the football positions to run the organization.
All right, Cedric, I'm going to have to leave it there. I do appreciate the call. Glad you're listening in Huntsville, Alabama. We're going to continue this conversation. We'll talk about the last call, and we'll talk about your impression of the new interim head coach, Rizzi. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back with your comments on WWL.